Significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Dylan Sherwood on this Saturday before Easter. Hope you all are having a good weekend and hope you have plans to celebrate Easter appropriately. Tomorrow, don't forget the drive-in service on Easter Sunday morning at the Lyon County Fairgrounds, put on by Messiah Lutheran Church, a service you'll also be able to hear here on KVOE. Gets underway at 8:30. It'll go till about 9 o'clock. And encourage people, if you don't have any other plans for Sunday morning, please join us at the fairgrounds tomorrow morning for our Easter service. But this Saturday morning, we're hoping that we can maybe get hooked up with Eric McCabe, head disc golf coach at Emporia State. The Emporia State men's and women's disc golf teams are competing at the College Disc Golf National Championships in North Carolina, and it's an exciting day kind of for Emporia State men's Division I team. They are in first place going into today's competition. They have a two-stroke lead over Missouri, who is the defending national champion. Huge day yesterday for Emporia State. They went into the day, I believe they were at 17 under par and worked their way all the way. They were 10 under yesterday, so they're 27 under par. They have a two-stroke lead over Missouri, who's at 25 under par. Unfortunately, they're going to be dealing with some of the same type of weather that the guys who are playing stickball over in Augusta, Georgia at the Masters today, as it's supposed to be rainy, wet, and not so much fun. But Emporia State men's D1 men's disc golf team, a chance to be a national champion in their first year of existence.
Yeah, that what an accomplishment that would be if they can hang on, Greg. That's amazing. Everyone knows about what disc golf has done to Emporia, and if Emporia State brings a national championship back home, that the ice can be set on Emporia, and then there's gonna be other schools gonna be like, man, we should go play in one of those tournaments that Emporia holds. And like Doug Bierkes had mentioned on our airwaves, I think it was last Friday, about their world championships in 24, 25, and 26 scheduled here in town. So, I mean, that's a good look for Emporia.
You know, before they left for the national championship, we had a chance to visit with a couple of the disc golfers, one of them being Kate Kohlmeyer, who had a chance to play for a singles title yesterday. He was in 14th place going into the final round. He decided, since it was rainy, it was wet, he didn't want to risk suffering an injury, doing something that may have caused an injury that may limit his effectiveness in the final round on the team side, so he decided not to play. So no individual championships, but there are individual titles and there are team titles, and Emporia State obviously had their sights set on a team championship. They felt like they had a shot at winning that championship. At one time, they were ranked number one in the nation. They went into the national tournament ranked number two. They were setting in either third or fourth place after the first and second days of competition, but they were only within a couple of strokes of the top teams at the time. And, boy, they had a great day yesterday, finishing at 10 under par, and they take a two-stroke lead into the final round. You can almost feel the excitement all the way from Emporia because if you've been around any of the world championships on final day that have been played here in Emporia, you kind of know the excitement that goes along with it. And I can just imagine the intensity that is surrounding the setting in North Carolina. Because not only are they playing for, on the men's side, a D1 championship, there's also a women's championship as a mm-hmm. team that's up for grabs, and there's also a D2 and also a D3 men's team title. Emporia State doesn't have a D3 team, but they do have a D2 team. The D2 team is sitting in 22nd place, and the women happen to be sitting in 16th place going into today's final round. But I'm sure they've all had an enjoyable time playing for a national championship with the Emporia State men's D1 team sitting in first place going into today's final. I understand that the first group for Emporia State won't tee off until around 8 o'clock or 11 o'clock this morning, 11:20 our time. So they've got some time to let the butterflies settle in and get ready to go. Hopefully the weather will clear off and it'll allow them to play, but it's supposed to rain all day in North Carolina, so not sure how that's going to affect the schedule, if they'll delay the start or if they'll just say, let's go ahead and play. As long as there's not lightning, yeah. I'm sure they'll try to play as much as they can, much like at the Masters. If it's just a light mist, they'll let them play. But if lightning moves in, if you were watching any of the Masters yesterday afternoon, lightning moved in and they had the air horns blowing, telling everybody to get off the course, because that's one thing in the weather that you don't mess with. You don't mess with lightning, because, as we all know, it could be a deadly scenario. And yesterday, kind of a scary scenario at the Masters. A couple of trees. The wind was so strong that it blew over a couple of trees. Fortunately, none of the spectators were hit by the falling trees. I'm sure they had enough time when they heard the trees starting to fall. They were able to clear the area and get away from where those trees were falling, but kind of a scary scenario. And speaking of the Masters, they'll resume round two today. Wrap that up.
I think it's going on right now.
So if you want to check out round two, see how they finish round two. Tiger Woods making a charge to make the cut. He was at plus two after 11 holes from yesterday, leaving him seven holes, and the projected cut was expected to be around plus two. So if he stays there, he'll make the cut. If he falls below that, he might not make the cut. If he has a couple of birdies and finishes a little better than that, then maybe we'll see him on Sunday. And, of course, Tiger Woods on Sunday is a draw regardless of where he's playing at. That'll be a huge draw. But yesterday, big day on the Masters for one
Brooks
Koepka. As he is 12 under par, and he has a lead in the clubhouse on the course. When things wrapped up yesterday, John Rahm was on the course. He was at 9 under par.
He's at 10 under, so it's a two-stroke lead for Koepka, looking at the leaderboard right now. So
Rahm has a shot to maybe get it tied, maybe
take
the lead.
He's through 13, so
He still has some time.
He's got some time to chip away at it in round two and then make round three a little more interesting, because they could be easily playing together like they always do the pairings with the top three.
So Koepka might not get on the course till later this afternoon. Right. A long wait, which he probably would have had anyway. He was one of the fortunate ones that got his round in before the weather even moved in and had any effect. And boy, did he play an outstanding round. But once that weather moved in, it really caused havoc. It would have been around 3:30 their time, about 2:30 our time. It's when the weather started wrecking havoc with the folks at the Masters. And the weather is not going to be ideal today. It's not going to be sunshine and 70. It's going to be cloudy, windy, and wet. I think the temperature not expected to be get out of the 50s today at Augusta.
Yep, Mother Nature. It just seems like this happens every once in a while. So, it'll be interesting to see if the Masters can get through this weekend.
But the same weather that the Masters are dealing with will be the same weather that the teams at the Collegiate Disc Golf National championships we'll be dealing with in North Carolina. And I saw some photos from that particular course, and that looks like that's a pretty neat course.
I mean, there's great courses all around, and there's great ones here in Emporia, and you know that'd be interesting, Greg, if one of these years Emporia gets a bid for the collegiate disc golf national championships, because I mean, you got great parks here and.
Great courses, great challenging courses. Of course, hosting when you host world championships, you would think that it would be a big deal, and Emporia should be considered and would be considered for a national collegiate disc golf championship. You could even move it around and play different rounds on different courses.
Three different courses here in town with Jones and Peter Pan, and then of course maybe play the final round at the Country Club, and that's where the pros play their final round this past fall, and it was I could tell you this, Greg, just going out to the final rounds of the pros last year, and with the playoff that happened on the men's side. Just the atmosphere was great, and I know Emporia and the surrounding community, you know, disc golf, everyone that loves disc golf would really attract to a collegiate national championship held here in Emporia.
Now, we'll take a break, and we'll see if we can't get Coach Eric McCabe lined up and get him on the air, and we'll talk more about it. We'll take our first break. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. In the most watched women's basketball game in history, LSU defeated Iowa 102-85 to win the D1 championship last Sunday. Alexis Morris and Jasmine Carson both scored over 20 points to help the Tigers overcome National Player of the Year Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes. Tiger sophomore Angel Reese was named the Final Four's most outstanding player after her 34th double-double of the season.
The biggest goal was to get a national championship, so we put everything else to the side. We got a lot of big personalities on the team. We go at it all the time, but at the end of the day, we love each other and we're sisters, and we got to where we want to now.
While it's the first title in LSU program history, it's the fourth for Kim Mulkey as a head coach. The Louisiana native won three championships at Baylor before taking over in Baton Rouge in 2021.
They're ballers. I don't know how we did it. I can't tell you defense carried us today, but you're playing against a generational talent in Clark. So you knew you better score the ball with him. And we scored the ball from all positions today.
The Huskies are top dogs again on the men's side. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One and a member FDIC.
UConn defeated San Diego State 76-59 to win their fifth men's basketball championship on Monday. Husky center Radamas Sanogo scored 17 points and added 10 rebounds to capture the Most Outstanding Player award. UConn won their six tournament games by an average of 20 points. It's the first title for head coach Dan Hurley, who took the job in 2018. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongBineAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Dylan Sherwood. And we're now joined on the Sutherland studio line by Emporia State disc golf coach Eric McCabe, who is in North Carolina for the College Disc Golf National Championship, where the Emporia State D1 team is in first place, getting ready for the finals. Does the coach have butterflies today?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I think probably more so than the guys that are actually playing out here. You know, I always got a little bit more nervous watching them play than when I ever played. So I think that's a good thing, though. So,
well, Coach Eric McCabe, thanks for taking time out and joining us today. And we had a chance to visit with you and a couple of your players before you guys left for North Carolina last week. And I know they were excited about their opportunities, and they felt like they had a chance to compete for a national championship, and boy, they have. What kind of stands out about their play through the first 3 days?
So these guys, man, they just have this camaraderie between the four of them, our D1 team, and they just seem to be on the same wavelength as far as play goes. They know what each one of them is thinking and what the best plan of action is for each hole. And this particular event has one round of singles, which you average that score, and then it's a team event for the other three, and that benefits us heavily, seeing how we play better as a team than we do on our singles matches. So, you know, the mindset coming into this was really just, this is our first year out here. We haven't lost yet. Let's just come out and have some fun, see what happens, and, you know, play the cards where they are, so to speak. And, you know, we've put ourselves in this position going into this final day. We tee off this afternoon. Conditions are going to be rougher than they were yesterday. Yesterday we had rain the entire day, and we still managed to tie the record round from last year in good conditions on the most challenging course out here. So the ceiling has yet to been hit by these kids. It is just phenomenal to watch.
Now, just so that we have a better understanding of how this all works, when the players are playing, are they playing the same foursome as a team, or do they split them up and put them in different foursomes?
Sure, yeah, they split them up for singles rounds, but for the team event, all four of them are playing on the same card against other universities. And how it works is you got two of the guys as partners, the other two guys as partners, and they pretty much just play alternate shot, best shot, double. So, you know, for instance, Alexis and Kate are on a team, and they'll be throwing the tee shots on all the odd holes. Justin and Grant will be throwing the tee shots on the even holes, and then you alternate shot, best shot from there to finish the hole.
So if one of them has the strength of being a good guy from the tee box with a good distance, then that's the one you go with. And when you have somebody that has some pretty good accuracy when it comes to putting, then you let them have that shot, huh?
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yes, sir.
This team is in you mentioned yesterday, what was it, the tying or breaking the record for a round, 10 under par yesterday. What kind of stands out about that round?
Well, yesterday was amazing, honestly. We came out the gate, you know, every round so far we've come out the gate with a big birdie on the first hole, and I think that really just set the moment for the rest of the day. Yeah, shooting that 10 down yesterday in the rain was pretty spectacular. Last year, as I mentioned, 10 down was the best score on a good day, in good conditions, maybe a little breeze. We had a little wind yesterday, but today's conditions are looking like about high in the 30s, and we're going to have about 90% chance of rain this afternoon. So it's just going to be about keeping our composure and playing it shot for shot and seeing where we're at the last few holes, and You know, having a two-stroke lead over Missouri is beneficial for us, just for the fact of, you know, we don't have to be the ones playing catch-up. We can almost play it as match play coming down the stretch if we need to.
Did you say the high today in the 30s?
I did say that. Unfortunately, the highs today are in the 30s. It is, matter of fact, it is 38 degrees right now. And rain's not coming down yet, but radar says it's on its way. So we're going to be bundled up, umbrellas out, and plenty of towels out here.
Well, I guess the fortunate thing is a couple weeks ago you played in, what, the regional tournament down in Arc City and Winfield, and it wasn't much warmer than that.
Yeah, you're correct. Pretty much every event that we've played this year, it feels like it's been pretty abnormal temperatures and conditions. So I think that just gives us kind of a head start as well with the rest of these teams. The teams, you know, being Missouri, they're from the Midwest as well, but I don't feel like they played as many of these bigger events as we traveled to this year. So the one thing Missouri does have going for them is they are the returning champions from last year. So they've got that in their back pocket. But you know, these guys know what they're doing, and I'm excited to watch the day.
Hey, Eric, can you talk about Alexis Shaparo and Kate Kohlmeyer, kind of having them here from Emporia and them with their disc golf background, and just how they've impressed you in year number one?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Kate, especially, you know, Alexis has been there all year. He's been on the top 20 men's college disc golfer all year long, and Kate is very underrated when it comes to the college rankings. He's definitely take that leadership role on the team, and the guys respect him and listen to him. And you know, if he says we need to lay up a hole or anything like that, he kind of asks my advice sometimes, but the majority of the time I let them do what their gut says, because at the end of the day, that's what we need to be doing. And both of those guys have really been standout. Justin as well. Justin's just he's gone back to school, so he's one of our older guys. And Grant has been probably the most improved player of the year, and his confidence and his putting game has been phenomenal. So we've got a really well-rounded team, and it's just been fantastic.
Is it interesting that Kate Kohlmeyer a couple of years ago was playing collegiate baseball, and now he's turned his attention to disc golf?
I think that speaks volumes for our sport, where our sport's at and where the sport's going. And you know, leaving a big sport, you know, as his father pitched for the Royals. So he's got a lot of baseball in his background. So for him to know that disc golf has a future and that's what he wants to follow, I think that's fantastic. And, you know, what better place than Emporia, Kansas, and an Emporia state to do so.
How big of an advantage do you think it is, or is it an advantage for your players to have the courses that they have to practice on and work on each and every day? Once they get to some of these other courses, is that an advantage?
I think it can be an advantage, absolutely. A lot of these universities, they're in towns, cities that maybe have one or two little pitch and putt type courses. And, you know, with Emporia having, you know, 11 disc golf courses from, you know, beginner friendly all the way up to true championship level, and, you know, having Worlds come through town, and for the Glassblown Open, the Dynamic Discs Open, all these elite players coming to town, and our guys getting front row seats to all that, you know, you just take it in as a sponge and soak up all that, you know, information that you're not even knowing you're receiving. I think that's a huge advantage for our guys. And the courses out here are a little different than what we have back home. They have quite a few more trees out here in North Carolina. We're actually in the mountains of North Carolina, so they have a few more trees, but the distance is pretty close to the same. And it's very link style out here, similar to like country club with a few more trees. So I think that's what's really helping our guys.
We're visiting with Eric McCabe, who is the disc golf coach at Emporia State. Again, the Emporia State D1 team setting in first place going into the final round of the championship today. They have a two-stroke lead over Missouri, which is the defending champions. But not only do you have the D1 team there, but you also have a D2 team on the men's side, and you also have a women's team there. And how's the week gone for your other two teams?
Our D2 team has been playing pretty decent. They had a little bit of a slow start. They played a couple of different courses than our D1 team did. They had a little slow start, but they're kind of in the mix, and they've got a nice team round today going out on one of the more challenging courses, and our guys are you know, better than usual. So I think that they're going to go out there and be able to compete today. And our ladies, it's phenomenal to watch them play. They went out yesterday and shot their best round they've ever played. They've got a singles or a doubles round today that I don't see them coming in less than shooting their best score today as well. They've just really been, every single round has been getting better and better. And, you know, they absolutely love disc golf now. They've only been playing for about a year, so it's really cool to see, you know, more and more new players in the sport. And our ladies are second to none when it comes to being a cheering squad for the rest of the team, and it's pretty awesome to see.
I noticed there's also a chance for a D3 team. Is that something you might be looking at adding as you go along?
That's something we may consider. I know that they're talking about moving this location next year down to Rock Hill, South Carolina, which is the host city of the United States Disc Golf Championship. So if they move it down there, I'm not sure they're going to be able to have a D3 team compete for the Nationals next year. Just based on how many players they can have out here. We have 800 college students out here and 70 different schools represented. So it's a pretty big deal out here, and I'm all for having more players on our team and kind of pumping the clubs up a little bit more and getting them involved a little bit. And, you know, this team this year is very competitive, and, you know, some of the talent we have coming in for next year is mind-blowing almost that that next year's team could potentially be better than the team we've got now. But I'm just very excited with what we've got going right now, and the future of disc golf at Emporia State looks pretty good.
So how many inquiries do you receive maybe on a weekly or daily basis of people who are interested in coming to Emporia State and being a part of the disc golf program?
Yeah, I would say probably anywhere from emails to Instagram messages or Facebook messages. I get probably around 10 to 15 a week just of people reaching out wanting to know how they can be involved or how they can, you know, try out for the team. And we will have some tryouts going on this late summer, early fall, and I'll be making some announcements about that coming up. And quite a few. It can be a little overwhelming at times, but, you know, that just means we're growing, and I think that's fantastic.
You've been involved with a lot of big national-level disc golf tournaments, not only here in Emporia but throughout the United States. But being the coach at Emporia State and being in this situation, how exhilarating is it to see 800 college-age students competing in disc golf and competing in a sport that they love to play, much like you would see with a football program or a basketball or any other type of athletic program?
Absolutely. It's a completely different atmosphere. You know, as you mentioned with the Glassblown Open the year, I believe we broke the world record for most players in an event at 1,600 players in Emporia. Half of that is still pretty overwhelming, and it's a completely different atmosphere out here when you have these players that are representing a university, the spirit that they have, it's pretty phenomenal. The opening ceremonies was great. They represented every single team, and they came out of a tunnel, and there was cheering, and, you know, just the amount of exhilaration going on during that ceremony was pretty phenomenal. It's a pretty special event, honestly, and I believe next year we're already kind of in the works on hosting a big regional event right there in Emporia, Kansas, and trying to turn that into another big event that we could host in Emporia and bring in a lot of universities for that as well. And what better place than Emporia, am I right?
I'll agree with you there. And then that kind of brings up the question, is there a possibility of Emporia hosting the College Disc Golf National Championship?
It's you never know. It's one of those things that it could potentially happen, but at the moment, another different brand called Innova actually represents it. They kind of own this right now, so it would take a lot of convincing for them to come to our backyard to host this big event. But hey, you never know. The bigger the sport grows, the more the PDGA gets involved with these majors. It could happen in the future. We never know.
Well, Eric, thanks for taking time out and visiting with us today. Wish your golfers good luck today, and hopefully when it's all said and done, by the time the sun sets tonight, Emporia State will be a national champion.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Have a good one.
That's Eric McCabe. He is the head disc golf coach at Emporia State University. Again, the D1 team at Emporia State setting in first place going into the final round today. They have a two-stroke lead over Missouri. But as he mentioned, it's going to be cold. It's going to be wet. It's going to be windy. It's not going to be a pleasant conditions at all. I'm sure it takes a different mindset to play through some of that. And I'm glad I'm not playing in it today.
I would agree with you there. And like Eric mentioned, with them playing in the tough conditions yesterday and shooting a course best record, and the conditions are even worse today, who knows what to expect?
And like we mentioned with him, they played their regional tournament was played about 3 or 4 weeks ago when the weather was not real nice down in Ark City in the Winfield area, and they were able to have a pretty good outing with that, so they have some experience. They know what it's like to play in the weather, and I'm sure they're going to be appropriately attired. And for some of those schools, they probably, why do we want to play in this weather? This isn't conducive to disc golf. No, it's not, but you got to play it anyway.
Mm, most definitely.
Well, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We are driven by LongbiteAuto.com. We'll take our second break. We'll be back with more right after this timeout.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Dylan Sherwood. And maybe they should load up a plane and fly them all to Emporia, because it's going to be a beautiful day in Emporia for the final round of that national, the Collegiate Disc Golf National Tournament. I'm sure if they'll take 72 degrees, light breeze, any day of the week to play their final round. But, again, good luck to the Emporia State disc golf teams, not only the D1 team, but also the women's team, which is setting in 22nd place or in 16th place going into the final round, and to the D2 team, which is setting in 22nd place going into the final round today. So good luck to all of them on this final day of that national disc golf collegiate championship. And hopefully Emporia State can put their name on the plaque in their first year of existence. Talk about putting pressure on every other team.
Yes.
That Emporia State will have in the history. And this being the first year that they've been officially a part of the athletic department at Emporia State. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Main Street, we need to select our Main Street athletes of the week. And let's start off with Emporia High.
Oh, I'll throw some nominations in there. Let's see. Allison Brown had a good week. Katie Smart had a hat trick on Thursday. Oh, let's see. Who else did some good things this week? Well, track team had some good performances. I'm trying to think of who else. Tennis was off this week. Wow. Yeah, those would be the only two that I could think of that stand out to me right away.
And swimming had two meets, mm-hmm. and had a really good meet at Shawnee Mission, mm-hmm. was it North?
Yeah, it was Shawnee Mission North.
And had, what, six first-place finishes?
At six.
And
then I think Allison had she had two top three on Thursday.
And a nine-team Emporia meet at Emporia High. So the meet at Shawnee Mission North was a three-team, so it was a triangular. So greater chance of finishing first place, but they finished first place against a couple of Shawnee Mission schools.
Yeah, and talking with Coach Dawson on Thursday, and she's saying they still need to do some little pieces better, but they're getting there. And you really don't want to peak at the start. You really want to peak towards the end and have those either those state consideration or auto times so that they can be ready for the state meet. So,
speaking of which, we do know that Emporia High already will have two divers mm-hmm. at state this year. J.C. Stetler mm-hmm. qualified recently and, of course, in the first meet of the season. Miss Weiss,
Allie Weiss
qualified for state, and she's had a pretty good go. You know, let's go with Allie Weiss.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that. She actually won on Tuesday. They didn't dive on Thursday. Yeah, let's go with Allison Weiss.
So she'll be our Emporia High Athlete of the Week, and I haven't had a chance to do much searching on the area side, so if anybody wants to make a nomination for our Area Athlete of the Week, you can reach us here at KVOE at 620-342-5863, at 620-342-5863. You can also text us at that number, or you can call us at 620-342-1400, and we'll take your nominations. If you have an area athlete, whether it be baseball, softball, golf, a track and field athlete that may have had an outstanding week, we'll take your nominations, but sometimes it's a little more of a challenge to keep track of the spring athletes and their accomplishments than it is during the football and the basketball season when all the results are almost right there at the at the fingertips.
Yeah, I could throw a couple in there. I know Ethan Redeker had a good doubleheader for the Southern Lyon County baseball team on Monday. He went 3-for-5 in the first game, and then in the 18-16 win, he had two more hits. And I know it was in a losing effort in game number two, but for Northern Heights, Colden Ryberg went 3-for-3 with four RBIs. He had a triple and a home run. He's committed to play at Kansas Wesleyan. I know I saw something from Brent Maycock and Keisha covered about Caden Massey at Linden. I think it was in the Linden relays, which would have been a couple weeks ago. But I know Caden Massey's been doing some good things. And I saw this yesterday. Ethan Burton at Council Grove, he was in the elite race of the 100 at the Wichita State pre-state meet, and he actually won that. Bryson Turner was in that field, but Bryson didn't start that race. So
what event was that?
The 100-meter dash.
100-meter dash. And that he was with Council Grove?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just a couple of things I've seen on social media and Game Changer and – I know we could use some more nominations than what I can find, and everyone knows I can find stuff.
Well, let's go ahead and go with Caden Massey of Linden.
All right, Caden Massey of Linden. That's a good one. He's got some Division I offers for football. I think KU's in the mix too, and. And he's only a junior, so he'll have one more.
I know I ran into mom and dad during the basketball season, and they're getting some impressive offers from some some impressive names, and they're really excited about going on those trips with him just to check out the schools and see what they have to offer. And for him, a lot of it is going to be academic related as well. I think he has some big plans academically, and so he's going to be looking for a place that he, not only can he play football, but accomplish his academic goals as well.
And I read in Brent Maycock's article earlier this week that that Caden was looking up to Miles Kitzelman, who was at Linden, and then he went to play at Hutchinson Community College. He's now playing at Alabama.
Yeah,
and just looking up to him. So I thought that was kind of neat too.
It just goes to show you, if you put in the work, you might be surprised where you end up going to compete athletically, but then also to get your academics taken care of. And I'm sure the name, image, and likeness is a little bit more financially rewarding as well when it comes to some of these larger schools. They give you a chance not only to compete, but a lot of them, I know at the Division I level, there's a lot of schools that when you sign a letter of intent, you're getting name, image, and likeness money, mm-hmm. because the schools say, hey, we're using your name, image, and likeness to promote our sports, so we're going to pay you for that.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Brent's article right now, and it looks like, I'm trying to think if that – he threw 174 – That had to be So it was, he threw 174, which was a career best in the Linden relays on the 31st.
And I think he won the javelin, or was that in the javelin, or was that in the discus or shot?
So as I'm looking at this, he's got the. It says. Because Brent's like confusing me with this article because he's talking about the discus and then leading with his family, and so, but
I know he's been in some really good competition going up against Landon Boss of Osage City. Those two have been going head to head when it comes to the discus and the shot put and those two implements. I don't know. Does Caden throw the javelin?
Yes. So that mark, that 174 feet, was a career best in the discus. He also throws the shot and the javelin. So he's trying to get those marks in the shot and the javelin to get to state marks. But, Greg, 9 Division I offers: Duke, Iowa State, KU, K-State, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State.
That's impressive. And he still has a year of high school left.
And playing at the 8-man level, too.
Yeah. Wish him luck during the high school track and field competition, and we'll probably be talking about him a lot when it comes time to being at Cessna Stadium and covering the state high school track and field meet. And this might be the last year at Cessna, because I know Wichita State's talking about redoing the facilities.
Yeah, they're starting about doing those, I believe that starting this summer is when they're going to start doing some renovations.
So this might be the last year for all classifications to be at Cessna Stadium for a while until they get everything done. Then they might end up coming back to Wichita. I hope that does come back. You know, if they do have to, for 1 year, pause and send different classifications to different locations, I hope they do bring it back to one location, because I think that is a tremendous way of showcasing track and field athletes in the state of Kansas all on one side. I think it's such a huge, huge thing that you can go to one place and you can watch the best of the best in every classification compete. And the state high school track and field championships is the only place that they can do it. A lot of it has to do with being able to accommodate all the teams and everybody all at one time. And Wichita is about the only place they could do that. They might be able to do it in the Kansas City area somewhere. But when you start looking at centrally located, Wichita is a little more centrally located than anybody in the Kansas City area.
Yeah, and I mean, you look and see what's in the state of Kansas. I mean, you know, Emporia State, if they were to divide it up, I would see Welch Stadium at least hosting a portion of it. You could see Rock Chalk Park up at in Lawrence with the facility that they have. K-State could probably host one, and I would think somewhere in the Kansas City area could host. So
thing that that might keep Emporia State from hosting it is they have the NCAA Division II Nationals
that
coming up
true.
In 2024 and again, I think, in 2026. So that would probably take Welch Stadium out of the rotation because that happens at the same time the state track and field championships take place as well.
So they will start Phase 1A in August for the state for Cessna, and then they'll do one. They'll start 1B in June of 2024, and then Phase 2A can begin as early as June of 2025, and then they'll go into 2B.
It depends on how long it takes them to get through the phases. They might be able to get those phases done and still host the state high school track and field championships, but you would think with all the construction equipment and everything hanging around, mm-hmm. you wouldn't want to, to take that liability risk.
Yeah,
we're out of time on this Saturday morning. Just a quick reminder, we have Emporia State softball going on this afternoon. We'll have the games on Mix 104.9. They take on Fort Hays State. Emporia State will also be recognizing three seniors for the start of today's doubleheader, as they will be recognizing Sydney Rigge, Hannah Norquist, and Ronnie Raines. Yesterday, Emporia State swept a doubleheader from Nebraska Kearney. Fort Hays State yesterday split a doubleheader with Washburn. Emporia State softball needing some wins to help climb up the ladder. They're currently sitting in ninth place in the MIAA standings. They could move into a tie with a couple of teams that are in sixth place. Emporia State's 5-7, and there are a couple of teams that are 7-5, so a couple of victories today would definitely help propel them up the ladder, but it's not going to be easy. Fort Hays State, a much improved softball team. Also today, down in Wichita, Emporia State baseball team will be playing Newman Game 3 of that three-game series. Newman won last night after Emporia State won on Thursday, so it's a rubber match of that one. Emporia State track and field teams there at Pittsburgh State today. Also, don't forget Royals baseball this afternoon here on KVOE as the Royals win one yesterday, defeating San Francisco 3-1. Vinny Pascantino and Salvador Perez hit their first home runs of the season to help break a 1-1 tie and get the Royals a victory over the Giants. Game 2 this afternoon, first pitch is at 3:05. You can hear the game here on KVOE. And again, good luck to the Emporia State D1 men's disc golf team as they will be looking to win a championship, national championship at the Collegiate Disc Golf National Championship. The weather's not going to be ideal for them, but they will be going after the championship. Again, congratulations to Allison Weiss, diver, am I correct?
Yep, freshman too.
Freshman diver for Emporia High, and also Caden Massey of the Linden Track and Field Team for being selected as our Main Street Athletes of the Week. For Dylan Sherwood, I'm Greg Gray. Have a good rest of the weekend. Have a happy Easter. We'll see you next Saturday. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Live and local, 1400 AM KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM K245BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Derek Dennis. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas breaking his silence on a damning report by ProPublica that he accepted lavish vacations for more than two decades from a wealthy Republican donor, Harlan Crow, and failing to disclose them. Thomas saying Crow is a dear friend of 25 years, inviting him on family trips.
The vacations Thomas shared with Crow were extravagant. Island hopping on a super yacht in Indonesia, international flights on private jets, fishing at a luxury private resort in the Adirondacks. Supreme Court justices are not bound by any code of ethics, unlike lower court judges, and Democrats want to change that.
ABC's Terry Moran, the commonly used abortion drug mifepristone is at risk of being banned.
An unprecedented decision late Friday from a federal judge in Texas, suspending FDA approval of the abortion pill mifepristone. Vice President Kamala Harris reacted to the ruling Friday night.
This is a drug that the FDA approved as safe 20 years ago and has been proven to be safe for 20 years. So this is a dangerous precedent.
Attorney General Merrick Garland saying in a statement that the Justice Department will defend the FDA's decision and file an appeal.
ABC's Ty Hernandez, meantime, a competing opinion in Washington State held that mifepristone should remain accessible. And the appeals court will now have to weigh in. Escalating violence in the Middle East, Israel mobilizing police and military forces after days of clashes with Palestinian groups and attacks Friday in Tel Aviv and the West Bank that left three dead, including an Italian tourist. The Justice Department has launched an investigation into the possible release of secret Pentagon documents that were posted on several social media sites and appear to detail U.S. and NATO aid to Ukraine. Authorities warn the docs may have been altered or used as part of a misinformation campaign. You're listening to ABC News.
Mornings were made for better things than rheumatoid arthritis or RA. Xeljanz tofacitinib is a pill for adults with moderate to severe RA when tumor necrosis factor blockers did not work well or could not be tolerated. Xeljanz can help relieve joint pain, swelling, and help stop further joint damage. Xeljanz can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Before and during treatment, your doctor should check for infections like TB and do blood tests. Serious, sometimes fatal infections, cancers including lymphoma and lung, blood clots, serious heart-related events, tears in the stomach or intestines, and allergic reactions have happened. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors have an increased risk of death. Tell your doctor if you've had hepatitis B or C, have flu-like symptoms, are prone to infections, or have ever had a heart attack, stroke, clot, or other heart problems, or swelling of lips, tongue, throat, or hives. Ask your doctor about prescription Xeljanz. Visit Xeljanz.com or call 1-844-Xeljanz.
Taiwan says China is starting so-called combat readiness patrols near the islands. Chinese warships and dozens of fighter jets reported in the water and in the air. The exercise is said to be in retaliation for a meeting between House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Taiwan's president. So far, no sign of any missile launches. Los Angeles County, the most populated county in the country, making a declaration on gun violence.
Declaring that putting the burden on law enforcement has not worked, Los Angeles County Director of Public Health, Dr. Barbara Ferrer, says gun violence will now be addressed here as a public health issue. As she revealed a plan to address gun violence, it includes the county pushing for new gun laws, supporting more social connections, raising awareness on gun violence restraining orders, and mental health support.